just saying.
Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Sarah Nix. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Mike Arnold announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know?, it's Wisconsin funny man and author Michael Perry, a delicious food truck hotline, and the What Do You Know? Quiz. Support for What Do You Know? Comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man with a higher GPA than Paul Ryan, Michael Feldman.
Three points. There he is. Come on up. That's Michael Perry, ladies and gentlemen. What are you doing sitting in the audience? Sitting up here waiting for you. Have a seat. How are you? Nice to see you. Looking good.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's true because it's been.
You don't think it's
10 years
since what?
Since we met. Since I first, stepped up on this stage, sat down, and knocked over your ostrich, which led us to a 5-minute discussion about dead emus.
Yes. It did. And, you want to do it again?
I'll do it again.
You haven't changed a bit. You're still knocking over the emus and calling them ostriches and everything else.
Had a lot of hair back then.
How are things?
Well, I don't have as much hair, and I've got reading glasses.
Do you?
Other than that, things are great.
You know, life happens. Life happens while you're doing other things, you know. The new book is Visiting Tom. You don't, do you run or anything like that, or do any sort of form of exercise? Or?
I did. Just last night, I ran along the lake here.
Oh, you did?
For about 20 yards, then I took a nice walk.
Yeah. You ran on the lake? I thought that you could do something like that. You ran around it, not on it.
Around it.
Around it, yeah. But do you do that? Do you have a regimen?
I do. It's a little abstract.
Well, we're anxious to hear that, aren't we?
I write in the book, actually, this book here, Visiting Tom, which will be out Tuesday.
Well, I was going to mention it. Did I mention it? Visiting Tom. Michael Perry. Visiting Tom, available on Harper.
It's available anywhere. You can even pre-order it right now. Yeah, if you want. Some people go to sneezingcow.com and do that. But it's a free country.
Right, I love you because you never self-promotional. That's what I like best about it.
But I write in the book about going for a run. Our little farm's at the end of a real steep hill.
Yeah.
And it's such a steep hill that the local high school cross-country coach uses it. He hauls the kids out in a van and makes them run up and down the hill. But he always puts these little promotional or these little motivational sayings in chalk on the road, and he's got markings all the way up, like 500 yards to go, and you can do it. And there's one about, oh, I don't know, it's probably about 40 yards from the very top, and it always says, pop the top. And every time I cross that these days, I just go, son, that happened about half a mile ago.
What does that even mean, Bob? That doesn't crack a beer or something.
I'm afraid to ask.
High school cross country.
It is a dead end road, and you do find the occasional empty beer can up there. So who am I to ask?
Is that actually it was Stuckey Road? Is that actually the name? That's not the name of it. Right? Change the name of the road.
I call it Starkey Road in the book. I change it just slightly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've got.
No. So it is Stuckey Road.
No, you're close, but. You'll get stucky if you try to get up there when it's snowing. Yeah,
that's right. In fact, that's a big part of this book is your road and how they ruined it. The only way you can get up it is you got to make a go at it.
You used to be able to get a run at it, and the highway commissioner decided to redesign the intersection. I want to preface this by saying that he is a good man doing a very difficult job. And it's one of those jobs where no one ever pays attention to you until you do something you don't agree with.
Right.
And he and I, I respect what he did and why he did it. I may, however, not be on his Christmas card list.
Yeah.
So now you gotta use some other resources to get up.
So what they said, people coming down, which would be you, I guess.
Right, there are two houses.
They weren't
at the top.
Stopping.
Yeah, he said. Well, the problem is there's a steep hill and people are shooting off through that intersection. and someone's going to get hit. Well, there's only two families. There's only three driver's licenses at the top of the hill, and it's a dead end. And then there's a yield sign at the bottom of the hill. So I said, well, how about if you put up a stop sign, and then people have to stop? And he said, well, there's no saying they'd stop.
No.
I said, well, if that's your theory, then why would you put up a stop sign or a red light anywhere? And he said, well, there are studies that show that uncontrolled intersections actually are safer. And at that point, my response was, what? And he's right. In Europe, there's been some studies where they have uncontrolled intersections, but they're at the center of dense urban centers where there are a lot of bicycles and people from Holland.
Right.
But I'm suggesting that
there's canals, so you're going to stop. You
know? And so what I wanted to say was, well, if you really believe that, let's start saving some taxpayer money. I'll get the truck. Let's go start yanking stoplights.
Yeah, yank them.
I didn't say that, though.
Twist them off. Get one of them pipe cutters you probably got.
Yeah, let's let there. Everybody just be, what do they call that, libertarian?
Yeah. I'm not allowed to say that.
He's got a hard job.
Tell him about your sign now. Because you're at a dead end, and you get people coming there and walking through your property.
We live at the end of a big, tall hill, and then after that, our driveway goes on another 0.2 mile, and it's shot. It's full of potholes and weeds, and it was blacktopped in about 1956, I think. But I like that, because I figure that slows people down and makes them feel like maybe they shouldn't come any further or farther, depending on whether you're an English major. And
I never got that either.
So we had trouble people driving back and just showing up in our yard and looking around and hanging out. And so someone said, well, put up a no trespassing sign or a keep out sign. I said, no, I don't want to do that. That's kind of not very neighborly. And where I came from, you know, when my dad bought the farm, he was a newcomer from the city. And for the first year, come deer hunting, the neighbors just hunt on your land like they always did. The second year, they hunt there again, but you have a little talk with them. And then on the third year, you're allowed to hunt on your own land. Right.
Including the neighbors.
Right, and it's a process, and it works itself out. Well, nowadays, of course, we're of a different mindset. And the minute you buy your little patch, you slap no trespassing signs up every 40 feet, and that's just... So I didn't want to do that, but eventually all the people driving in without permission got to me. So I said, well, I'm just going to make a nice little sign, put it at the end of the driveway, says, private drive. And then I got to thinking, well, if you put up a nice little sign, people think you have nice things. I'm not complaining, but we live in an old slantwise farmhouse. The windows don't match and everything. And I do have a pole barn with some precious things. But the most precious thing is a 1951 International Harvester pickup, 3/4 ton. No one in the county could get it started if they had to. So I went the other way. And what I did is I said, you want to send a certain message, and it's not just the words. And so I went to the pole barn. I found two old pieces of lumber that were pretty much shot. I found an old rattle can full of blood red spray paint, and I propped those boards up, and I sprayed real slow in all capital letters, private on one board and drive on the other, and I oversprayed so that the red paint would run. And then I took the boards out, and I leaned them up against the box elder stump, and I got my Ruger Red Hawk 44 Magnum with the 7-inch barrel. And I put 6 240-grain slugs in it, and I shot them all through that sign. What I was trying to do, that's what artists call creating a vernacular piece. Right? And so then I took it out to the end of the driveway, and I screwed it to a popple tree with drywall screws. Drywall screws are the sign of an incompetent carpenter, and of course I buy them by the box. So I was pretty proud of myself, I admit. For the next couple of weeks, I'd drive in, I'd see that blood red private drive sign with the bullet holes screwed to the popple tree, and I thought, yeah, you know, people, not only are they seeing keep out, but they're wondering, wow, what kind of guy would put up a sign like that? Until about 2 weeks in, when I looked at it, and I became crestfallen because I realized that I had blown the opportunity to make the perfect private drive sign, and so I redid it. And now it's still too... scrubby old boards screwed to the popple tree with drywall, and it's still the blood red overspray, and there's still the bullet holes. But now, if you come to the end of my driveway, you'll see a sign that says Pervit Drive.
All right, that's going to be hard to beat, but let's talk novelty. novelty implements of various types, such as the vice grip, your welded vice grip device.
Oh, yeah. I said when I have an auction, you know, they're going to clean out my pole barn, and there's nothing in there much worth other than that 1951 International Harvester 3/4-ton long bed pickup truck.
You're going to get offers now if you keep mentioning it. You know that.
I have a personal attachment to that truck because I spent my first night as a married man in the back of it, and I asked... In the book, Truck, A Love Story, also available.
Yes.
I write about, I asked my wife if we could spend the first ever married life in the back of my 1951 International, and when she said yes, I knew I'd made the right call. Yeah.
Definitely.
But there's a lot of junk in my pole barn, and most of it's worth nothing. But they're going to, you know, when I grew up, we always used to go to auctions. That was our form of entertainment, because rural auctioneers were comedians, and they were improv artists, and they can sell anything, and they had all these one-liners, and they could improvise jokes depending on what the implement was, and I'm just waiting the day that they go to sell my stuff. They're going to pick up this vice grips. And there's a perfectly normal vice grips, but on the back is welded the grab hook from a logging chain. And he's going to hold that up. But if he's a good auctioneer, he won't even hesitate. He'll make some comment about dentistry. And then he'll sell it for $2. But what he won't know is that this whole book is about my neighbor, Tom. And Tom is, I call him a roughneck polymath. He can do anything. He drove his own oxen. He made the oxbows that he drove the oxen with. He's a farmer. He milked cows for years. He's got his old Model A still running. He builds his own cannons and shoots them. And he's just a super smart, talented guy, and he's one of those guys that, you know, they're disappearing. He can just do everything. But I needed to weld this grab hook to the back of my vice grips. And when I went over to Tom's, I gave him that hook and that vice grips, and I said, can you weld those together? And he said, yep, I can. And then he set them aside, which means, but I ain't going to do it now. And so a couple days later, his wife called, and it was ready. That's a rural thing, too. You know, you're going to have to herd me back to where he wanted me to go. I'm getting way off on a tangent here. But where I grew up, we had it was a lot of loggers and farmers, and you know, folks didn't have a lot, but there were a lot of lakes, so a lot of people bought lake property, and they'd build nice places, and they would hire my buddies locally to do, like, pull the docks out and stack firewood and move rocks. And it was always funny because the new people would always, they'd hire them to move the dock, and then my buddy wouldn't show up, and they'd start calling him. We need you to come by Friday. You got to be here at 10. And the people from the city don't know it, but my buddies, they keep a list. And your level on the list is inversely proportional to the number of times you called and told them to hurry up. So when I brought that thing over and showed it to Tom, we were having supper with him, and I said, can you do this? And he said, yep, and then he set it aside. I knew that he just moved me down the list, and I just didn't need to ask. And so a couple days later, he called, and I went over, and it was ready, and he'd welded it to the back. And what it is we feed our family off our farm quite a bit, including deer hunting, and that vice grips is an integral part of my deer skinner, my automatic deer skinner, which is something I had wanted for years. I had dreamed of the day I'd have my own deer skinner, and it's based on a snatch block pulley system that's hooked to the rafters in the pole barn, and I got an old boat winch, and that's how I pulled the deer out of its hide. And that's probably enough said, but people react like this, but I'm just trying to feed my family healthy meat. And in the book, I said, you know, me to my deer skinner, it's the equivalent of a Manhattan Yogi to her brushed aluminum juicer. You know, we're both just trying to feed the kids.
Your point is well taken.
Thank you.
And so is your vice grip, I might add. So, is that when he showed you the shovel? That is a little.
Oh, yeah,
shovel.
He's got a shovel. He's got all, and in the book I write about when you go to see him, he's got all these great routines he takes you through, and he's a funny guy. And he's got this shovel. He'll save it for last. When he thinks you're about to leave, he pulls that out. That's his big finish piece. And he pulls this shovel out, and it looks like a perfectly normal spade. But the handle comes up about 3 feet, and then it curves all the way around and points back down. And I know, because I've known him for years, that what it is, that shovel handle is a failed oxbow. It's one he started to make an oxbow with and didn't work out. But then he shaved it down, he put in that shovel, just so that he can tell the following joke. He'll pull that shovel out, and he hold it up, and he goes, what do you think that is? People look at it, and they might guess. And then they'll go, that's a shovel we picked up after them county boys got done leaning on it.
That's a county shovel. Oh. So wouldn't you say that in country life, one of the things you got to know is somebody who welds, basically?
It doesn't hurt. Now, yeah. I can weld, and I've written, I do what's called bubblegum welding, and anybody who welds knows that I can slather a bead on there, and it'll hold for a week or so. But if you want it to last, you're probably going to want to go to someone like Tom.
Yeah.
He can do it all. And he, what amazes me is he fixes old things, but he also, he's got a lathe, and he'll show you. He says the newest patent on here is 1918. But I was over there the other day, and he's making parts for a guy's $250,000 combine. So, you know, he's not just
hopefully
an old timer hanging out.
See the lathe. That's what he made
of. No, the guy was standing right there.
Oh,
they trust
him.
Oh, yeah, you bet. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was serious there for a minute.
That's okay. I'm sure it won't happen again. How to overcome improvements. Now, living in the country, say some of these things, know a welder, learn how to overcome improvements.
Yes.
That's part of it, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole thing with this road and everything. They improved your road.
Right, but then he kept telling me, here's how we can overcome what I've just done to improve your road. And I said, I didn't want to be a grammatic stickler. You know, but the idea of improvement would seem to imply that it would be easier to get up the hill.
Yeah. So there is that. What do I got here now? Smart feller. Girl raising advice. So he had two girls too. He had two girls too.
He does.
You have
he
two
and
girls.
I
have two girls. So we're all in the same boat here.
Yeah, like someone
and
told me.
And it's perplexing.
Me, yeah, well, some guy told me once on Book Tour. He said, "You don't have a family. You have a sorority."
Yeah, that's a good one.
Feels that way. Sometimes.
It is. Yeah. The vote is always 3-1 against. I've noticed.
Well, and you can negotiate, but it's pointless.
Yeah. That's a better way of saying that, I think.
So I look to him for advice sometimes.
Yeah.
But the deal with him is if you ask him, if you hang out with him, you learn a lot. If you ask him stuff, then he a lot of times just gives you a smart aleck answer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No.
But he, I did ask him specifically for advice on how to raise my daughters, and the first two things he came up with, I'm not even sure we can say on the air.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you're probably right.
So as I wrote in the book, I said I did not jot these down.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't see this in that cute How to Be a Dad book.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little unnerving.
Nothing useful then, huh?
No, the thing with him, and here's my favorite story from the whole book, which I shouldn't tell, you know, because now I gave you my favorite story from the whole book, but he's one of these guys.
Free, absolutely free.
Right. My whole point of this book was not to write, I'm not his, he's not my guy, my spiritual mentor. I'm not his, I have no claim on him. All the other neighbors are over there as much or more as I am. I just wanted to write about what you could learn from a guy just being his neighbor. And so that's what the book's about. But there was one time after I'd known him for some time, we're sitting at his dining room table, and we'd had a pretty long talk, and it was a nice talk, and he's 82, and his wife is his age, and she's in failing health, and it just struck me, you know, these conversations won't go on forever. And I was feeling pretty vulnerable, I think, and I just, there was something I wanted to carry into the future. So I looked at him, I said, Tom, all these years, all this living, all these experiences, do you have any regrets? And he looked at me, and he said, well, sure. And he never said another word.
Now, I mean, his farm, though, had that ungodly occurrence of having an interstate come right past the barn.
Part of the reason that I, you know, my little thing with the intersection, it's more for comic relief than anything. And I also use it as this silly little parallel to what he actually experienced, which is he's living on the same farm that he's lived on for 82 years straight. It's this very remote spot. And the only connection to the outside world was a dirt two-track. And he would, as a kid, leave the porch, go down past the barn, down this cutback, down to the creek, and he'd play by the creek, and he'd find arrowheads and that sort of thing. And then he'd cross the footbridge and walk to his little one-room school. Well, then he took over the farm as a grown man, and in the 1960s, the U.S. government put an interstate through his barn, basically, right through his yard. They actually had the line drawn through his barn. He was able to get him to move it enough to save his barn. But He went from living in this remote little spot to having, today he has 22,300 vehicles a day, over 8 million vehicles a year going literally through his yard. You could spit on them from the barn. And if there is an overarching point to anything I write, it's this: I'm always looking for equanimity. How do you deal with what life throws you? And here's a guy, and believe me, he can go on a rant, and I write about it in the book, about what he thinks of the process and how that road got there. But he didn't let it wreck his life. He's filled with equanimity. He's got a sense of humor. He's lived fully. He's lived an engaged life. He continued to farm. He continues to love that place. And so that's what I'm trying to get at in the book is, how do we deal with these imperfections and these intrusions on our inner peace and not get bitter and grumpy?
But he made him move the fence, right?
He did make him move the fence. He set it all up, and he showed him the problem, and then he had the committee come out there, and he said, he set up a silage wagon with an old Farmall tractor and showed him where it had to go, and he said, all right, if any one of you fellas want to back that in there, have a crack at it. And none of them could do it.
Without hitting the stakes.
That's right, yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah. You're not, now, I noticed by your hands, you are not yourself a farmer.
No, and I make a point of this in the book. Now, for promotional purposes of promotional shorthand, I'm often portrayed as a bit of a rugged northern Wisconsin fellow, and I do raise some pigs and chickens now and then, but if you're down at the feed mill with me, and I do go to the feed mill, and I do talk about feeder hogs and hang out and pout about the weather, but... But if the guys at the feed mill want to embarrass me, they just have me turn my hands over. And they are clearly the hands of a typist. So, yeah, my brother's a real farmer, and I always say it's nice when people call me a farmer. But if I come home after a weekend on the road and all my pigs are dead, that's a bad weekend.
That's a bad feeling.
Right. But if my brother comes home and all his corn is dead, which this year isn't really much of a joke, he bet the farm.
Yeah. Well, it's once again great to have you here. The new one is called Visiting Tom, from Michael Perry, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace. Thanks, Mike.
It's a pleasure.
Good to see you, as always. Michael Perry.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International.
Food trucks. Food trucks I have known from around the country, particularly in the South. I'd like to know actually if there is like a Waffle House that moves. Food trucks I have known. Jamie's on the line from Kansas City. Hi, Jamie.
How are... Hi there.
You guys.
Well, I had kind of an interesting food truck experience.
Okay.
Several years back, there's a section of railroad that's been turned into a hiking trail and biking trail that goes along the Missouri River in the middle of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And my son and I were biking, and we got a little hungry, and there was a Thai food truck on the side of this between the bike trail and the Missouri River. Absolutely nothing else around there whatsoever. I don't even know for sure how exactly they got it down there. They had a little food truck and a little awning, and we got past Thai there. It was absolutely fantastic. Had no idea why it would be there.
And it was serving pie, did you say?
Thai food, yes.
Oh, Thai food. I said pie.
In Missouri by the river.
Yeah, Thai food. They get a lot of walk-up, I suppose.
Yeah, fish maybe come up there, or the local squirrels and such.
Yeah.
There weren't very many people along the trail, so you know, maybe they just couldn't pay the bill to get out of there.
Did you ask them, say, how'd you guys end up here?
No, we just ate the food, and really kind of wondered, why it was even there.
Yeah.
But it was very good Thai food.
That's amazing. That's a good story. Thanks, Jamie. If it was not an hallucination, that's a tremendous story. Yeah. Thanks, Jamie. Good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. In the middle of Missouri, a Thai food truck.
Every once in a while, you need some penang.
Too bad it wasn't Indonesian.
Right.
You could have been. Julianne's on the line from New Haven, Connecticut. Julianne, have you got a food truck story?
I've got a whole bunch of them because New Haven, as you know, is
a haven for them.
Town.
Yes.
And we have more food trucks than I've ever seen. We have a huge parking lot near the School of Management where there are probably 20 or 30 trucks every day.
20 or 30, yeah.
We also have a cheese place called Casillas, and they do wonderful cheese sandwiches on the go.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the cupcake.
A cupcake truck, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we have wonderful Thai, wonderful Indonesian, wonderful Ethiopian.
Yeah. Your favorite dish that you go for on these trucks?
I usually go to the Thai chicken with curried pineapples.
Ooh, it sounds good.
It's very good.
Yeah. Sounds very good. Okay. So New Haven, Connecticut, hot spot for food trucks.
Yes.
Tell them Julianne sent you?
No.
Thanks, though.
Okay.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's good. Columbus, Ohio, we got Ralph here. Ralph, what's happening in Columbus there?
Well, we got a place called Ray Ray's Hog Pit.
Ray Ray's Hog Pit sounds like a winner.
Oh, yeah, it's a barbecue food truck.
No, really?
If you like Carolina-style barbecue, this place is absolutely fabulous.
So it's kind of the pulled pork kind of barbecue?
The pulled pork, they've got the brisket.
Yeah. Ooh, the brisket, yes.
They got ribs. They do ribs on Sundays. They're doing a special tomorrow for grass-fed beef that's supposed to be really, really good.
Grass-fed yeast?
I'm not trying to get.
Did you say?
Beef.
Oh, beef. I thought it was a vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Grass-fed yeast would be very tasty, I think.
A little mealy.
Yeah. So, and what's your favorite there? You go for the ribs or you go for
I
the
pork?
Oh,
I like the brisket sandwich.
A brisket. I love brisket,
It is. Just melting your mouth. The guy cooks what he cooks, and then when he runs out, he closes the shop. It's just a real real small town thing, but great banana pudding. They just started doing bacon chocolate cheesecake, which
there it is.
May sound bizarre, but it's great.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was saying. Bacon and chocolate is like take all, winner take all food.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds great. How much does he get for the brisket sandwich?
$6, and
$6 cheap.
The size of a large hoagie, about 6-8-inch roll, something like that.
Size of a
barbecue,
what?
Like you get it wet, obviously, with the barbecue sauce on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And just drips down your chin, and you say, yum.
Wonderful. And then you go back to your job there in the state insurance adjuster's office, right?
I think I'm going to go there right now, as a matter of fact. I'm turning the car right around.
All right. Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Okay. We got Ann in Pewaukee. Ann's in Pewaukee. What they got in Pewaukee there, Ann?
Well, it's not in Pewaukee.
No, okay.
It's in two places. One that I remember really very fondly is in Telluride, Colorado. And
Telluride,
they have a crepe place, a little booth, and she makes savory and also sweet crepes, and they're lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. And then the other one...
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think that would work in Pewaukee?
I think so.
Savory crepes?
If there were enough people.
Okay.
Down maybe at the beach.
Yeah, sure.
In the summertime, sure.
Yeah, as long as they're not piling the seaweed up on the shore while you're eating. Then.
No. Not so much.
And the other one is?
Yeah, the other one is actually not in this country. It's in Canada, up in Banff.
Banff, yeah.
There is a place, and it was called Beaver Tails.
Uh-huh.
And this place was awesome. The beaver tails were made out of a kind of like fried dough.
Okay.
And then they would put Nutella.
Makes me too sad to think about beaver tails. I couldn't eat it.
They mate for life.
Beaver tails, they're fried, what, dough?
Fried dough in the shape of, like, a beaver tail, right? So that's about, hence the name.
Hence.
And then they put, like, Nutella on it.
Oh, in Nutella. Yeah, well, they're Canadians, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah, but and it was, oh, my gosh. And, again, they made also sweet ones, and then they had, like, a ham and cheese one, and, you know.
You know, whatever. I'm with you right up to the Nutella, and I got to draw a line there because it is Canada, and we can't eat their food.
Oh, come on.
Well, their beer is fine.
Yes, the beer
if,
is
if it's
fine.
Washing down the Nutella, it wouldn't be so bad, but there's something about Nutella which I can't grasp.
Oh,
but
no.
It sounds good, though, actually.
Yeah, it was really good.
And
good
beaver tail.
A lot of ski places, ski towns have these little carts.
Yeah, yeah. Now you got to start something in Pewaukee.
I was definitely thinking about doing
bring it to Pewaukee.
The crepe thing.
The crepe thing or the beaver tail in Pewaukee?
The crepe thing, I think.
I think the beaver tails.
Okay.
But not Nutella. Put something else on there besides Nutella, because that's not going to play in Pewaukee.
Yeah, cinnamon sugar.
Sure, that sounds good.
Yeah, with lemon. Yeah,
okay.
Very good.
Yeah, thanks, Ann.
All right, thank you.
Very cool,
bye.
Thanks. Well, let's go to Springfield. Got to be good in Springfield, Mo. Springfield, Missouri, one of my favorite places to be anywhere. Bruce, what do they got in Springfield now?
Well, I wasn't going to tell you about a place in Springfield.
Oh, okay.
But I was going to tell you about an experience that I had a few years ago.
Okay.
While a friend of mine and I were driving a truck cross country.
All right.
And we were in California on a regular basis.
Okay.
And the best place, any trucker can tell you, the best place to eat on the road are these delightful little chuck wagons known as roach coaches.
Roach coaches?
Yes.
Sounds good so far.
They're really inexpensive and delicious food. And one day we were approaching one, and they were selling an item called a machaca.
Machaca.
Which is like a big fajita with a lot of beef, a lot of onions and tomatoes and bell peppers. They're just great.
Uh-huh.
And my friend walked up to the coach, and he asked the man for a muchacha.
And what did he get, I'm wondering?
The guy just looked at him and smiled and said, sorry, senor, I can't help you.
Yeah, and he's married to her yet. Isn't that an amazing story? That is such a happy ending to that story. I can understand the confusion, and of course, that was cleared up. And is there anything in Springfield, though? I know the Reds, they used to have Reds there years
Red,
ago.
But, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was before your time, but do they have anything in terms of truck food?
There are a few little pit barbecue places around.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's great barbecue here.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. One more from Kay here in Columbus, Ohio. Also Columbus, Ohio. And hey, Kay.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Yourself?
I'm very well. Thank
That's
you.
Nice. Have you had a good truck experience for us?
I have the best truck experience in the world, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I started a little hand truck called Freedom a la Carte.
Ooh, sounds a good
and
idea.
And it's amazing. And survivors of human trafficking work on our cart. We're teaching them social enterprise skills. We're teaching them job skills.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Is this in Columbus?
This is in Columbus.
Fantastic.
And we're calling it Cause Cuisine. Like, you make food, and you send all the money, and you send all the skills, and you send all the help to people who are surviving from human trafficking.
That's quite amazing.
And the food's delicious.
And how is it going? Was it going well?
It's going so awesome. We're working so hard.
Yeah.
We have a chef who's a little bit Argentinian, and he's making slow-roasted
just a little
sandwiches.
Bit? Yeah.
Just a little bit. It's her grandma.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you there now?
I'm not. We did two events yesterday,
okay.
And I'm about to go start our garden with a bunch of volunteers called the Freedom Garden.
The Freedom Garden. So you're going to grow your own stuff and use it in the cart? And
some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
We're also working with some local farmers, and we've got a cow hanging out in a field up in Worcester right now that we're going to...
Is it a little bit of a cow, or is it all a cow?
It's all cow.
Okay, this sounds fantastic. And it's called, once again, Freedom.
It is called Freedom a la Carte.
Freedom a la Carte.
The cart. Great. Someday will be a restaurant.
It's a great idea, Kay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, best of luck. Best wishes to you out there in Columbus, Ohio.
Thanks,
Kay. There you have it. Trucks.
Love them.
All right. Yes, sirree. Okay. Well, you know, we missed a little band number there, and I want to make up for that right now, you guys. Hi, Jeff, by the way. Nice to see you over there.
I guess he's your bass player, isn't he?
You're my bass player, man. Everybody should have a bass player and a valet. Those are two things. A bass player and a valet. If he could do both, you know, it would be perfect. But
like brush your suit off and that type of?
Yeah, and lay my clothes out for him.
Lay your clothes out, yeah.
Wouldn't that be so like the Romneys have, you know? What then? What's this number?
This is a tune I wrote called The Peaceful Penguin.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, Penguin.
Penguin time? Penguin time?
Huh?
Penguin time?
The Peaceful Penguin.
The Peaceful Penguin.
Don't answer.
Very nice. Very nice. Very evocative. Very evocative. Heidi is, she's from Madison. She's retired. And she asked me, what time you get up to go perch fishing on Lake Mendota? But I get up with the fish, generally. Where is Heidi? Hi. Oh, you're way over there. You do that? Excuse me, I got to find out if Heidi actually does this or whether she just likes to throw it around. Throw it in people's face. Throw the perch in people's face. Well, they do it. Do you perch fish? You get out there? You do?
Sometimes, yes, I do.
You do? Okay. All right. So what time you get up to go out there?
Five.
So I want to know. All right. Let me just go back over here and I'll get out. That's why I don't do it, because that's a ridiculous time to do anything. You should go up while they're still sleeping. Catch them unawares. Oh, that was a long walk these days. Tom, not bomb. Tom, not bomb? Oh, he's way over there, right next to her. Okay, I got to go back where Heidi was there, because Tom is with Heidi. Excuse me just a second. I'm over here. So, Tom, you get up there at 5:02 to do that perch fishing?
Yes, I have done that.
Okay, all right. Let me just go back here to what I was doing then. Get back here. 5 a.m. seems pretty early, though, to get the fish. Okay, is there a later sleeping fish that you could... What about bass? Do they sleep till noon, maybe? Okay. All right. It was a question about Paul Ryan's suits. Well, it's the valet thing. He makes him wear a little valet outfit. But, you know, they shouldn't harp on that. Brett's from Madison. Exhausted from the. When you were a cab driver, what's the most bizarre question someone ever asked? Well, I had someone ask me, "Are you sure this is the shortest route?" What's with that? I'm a cab driver. Come on. I didn't know anything about Brett. Are you a cab driver?
No.
No. Where are you? Why do you ask about cab driving?
I just read a little bit.
Read my story. And it was an interesting part of your trajectory. And then, that's it? Okay. See how wrong you were, Brett, to think that that was an interesting part of my trajectory. I was at the lowest revenue per mile. I brag about it now, but because I didn't know where anything was. I was on campus. It was my only experience in Madison. There was a whole west side of Madison and an east side. And the east side, all the roads are named after the developer's daughters, you know, so there's Donna Drive runs into Peggy Sue, you know. So who knows that? You got to know the developer to know where his daughters are and the street. And on the west side, they have, like, the Grand Tetons, which embarrasses me even to say something. You know, I'm going to 42 at the Grand Tetons. A little embarrassing. So it was bad. Sarah O'Brien, what can we do to help Pussy Riot? Sir, I'll get back to you on that one. But it's a bad deal just for having a bad band name, I think. You know, think of all the bad band names you run into. Okay? Lawrence Welk Orchestra. What's with that? Molly Smits? Smits, is it? Oh, good. You're close. You're nearby. I can get over to you. Find out what's all going on with Molly Smits, and can I get you to maybe stand up there, Molly? And
Doesn't make me much taller.
Oh, but I can handle this a little better. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Fine. And how are things in the Smits household?
Healthy, happy.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. From Green Bay?
Sure am.
And this is your birthday present?
It is.
Is that sad or what?
I'm pretty excited about it, actually. Yeah.
What did you really want, though?
I just wanted a weekend away.
Okay, it could have been anywhere then.
Well, no, this was on my short list of things to do.
Yeah, what were some of the other lists, things on the list?
The wine trail in Door County.
Wine trail would have been good.
Would have been, but this is just as fun.
Yeah, we can give you some wine, as a matter of fact. Okay. We have a wine trail here, don't we, Mike Arnold?
Yes, I suppose we do. Yeah, you can celebrate the joys of summer with fine Wisconsin wines like Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé from the Wollersheim Winery.
All French. They're not French wine.
Which name?
Yeah, French names, not French wine. Okay. So don't confuse it.
I can handle it. No problem.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming and putting us on your short list. Thanks for bringing here. And thanks to you. If you're related to this, are you a Smith?
No, we're not.
No Smiths? No, okay. You know the Smiths?
No.
Oh, the Smiths? You are
the Smiths caretaker?
The Bulogs.
The Bulogs?
Yes.
Bulogs, Smiths, Smiths, yes. Bulogs. It's a little Lutheran circle we got going here. Okay. All right. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's new? Anything?
No, just here for the weekend.
Here for the weekend from where?
Chicago.
Chicago? Oh, yeah. They had the air show there, so you didn't want to be around for that, right?
No, you don't want to watch them crash.
Oh. What a bummer. That really brought me down. Isn't that horrible when you hear something like that?
Yes.
It changes the whole tone, but you can change it back, can't you?
Absolutely.
Yes. Any good jokes that we can tell on the air?
None that we could tell on the air, but I'll tell them to you later.
Okay, let's just move on into the What Do You Know quiz. We have a visitor here from London all the way. Did you go to the Olympics?
Yes. To the unticketed events, yes. The free ones.
The free unticketed events, such as what? Paul McCartney?
No? Women's marathon. Or no, women's marathon, women's triathlon, men's triathlon.
No tickets for those. Because they weren't in the stadium, right? They were all over the place.
In the city, right by where we live. So we just walked over.
Oh, because you wouldn't need a ticket for that. Okay. Yeah, that's very good. Didn't you think those mascots were a little weird, though? No?
Yes, they were creepy. They weren't human. They weren't animal. They were like a Gumby or something.
They looked like body parts, you know.
I thought they were creepy. I agree with you. They were creepy mascots.
It was good. Did you think it went over pretty well?
Fantastic. It was wonderful. Wonderful event.
Yeah. Nice to have you. And you are?
I am Mary.
You are Mary. I am Michael. Nice to meet you, Mary. Okay. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Before we can, we got to know who did I give that to? Oh, yes. She'll bounce right down here in just a second. Come on, bounce this way. Okay. And you are?
I'm MJ Wiseman.
Jay Wiseman, would you do the honors, please, and read the four disclaimers?
I would. All right. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, my niece dated Paul Ryan, and he always went Dutch. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Thank you. You scared me a little bit, but it was good. Let's see the hands of those of you who would consider playing the What Do You Know quiz to win some of the fabulous and perhaps not so fabulous prizes that you see arrayed before you, Mike Arnold not included. That's right. Just get those hands up there, and with some show of enthusiasm and some rapid eye movement would be nice. We got, are you thinking him? I'm sort of thinking him, too. I don't even know why. I don't know why, but there's something about him. Yes, come on down. Yes, him, yeah, you. Yeah. He's got a je ne sais quoi, as we say in English. He's got that je ne sais quoi thing going.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
And you are?
Dave Gus.
Dave, you from around here, Dave?
Sycamore, Illinois.
Oh, Dave from Sycamore. He's all right, then. Sycamore that's okay. Sycamore is okay.
It's a beautiful town.
Sure. What's the most famous thing about Sycamore?
We make wine in my backyard.
Yes, that's it. We can give you some more, too, Dave, if you win. Give me one good reason you should play the quiz.
Because I was here 18 years ago, and you didn't pick me.
All right. Revenge. Revenge. Best served, Cole. Walk this way. Dave. Oh, that's all right. I'm just talking to you, Dave. Dave from Sycamore. Here's Mike from around here. Dave from Sycamore. Have a seat. Okay, there. Now, can you legally do that, Dave? I don't want to get you in any trouble here now, but...
Well, it depends how many gallons you make.
Well, I mean, you do make a lot of them, I guess, right?
About 200.
Okay. So what's the limit, 10,000 or something? What are you...
Yeah, well, you know, there's eight kids, and the equipment's all from my grandparents, and so...
You have eight kids, and you're feeding them all on wine?
Well, eight brothers and sisters. I have three kids.
Okay.
And so...
So a total of 11 kids, then, drinking this wine... Well, so if you're making how many gallons, you say?
We make about 200 gallons a year.
So that's only about 9, 10. And how has this turned out over the years for you? Pretty good?
It's been really good. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing it for about 12 years. Yeah. When I was a kid, my grandparents used to do it. So
yeah. They're from the old country?
From the 30s, you know. They're Italian, so.
Yeah, from the old country thing, huh?
You know.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah,
no,
fun.
It's very cute. I love it.
You know, we have 100 people over at the house when we're making the wine, and the kids are all running over and helping and washing bottles.
This is nice.
You know,
this is very
just,
nice.
It's a good family.
When is harvest? Tell me when harvest is, and I'll come around there. Or vinting. They call it vinting, isn't it?
I don't grow the grapes. I buy the grapes.
But when do they? When can we drink
September.
It?
September.
When can we drink it?
September.
September. I need a little long, more of a date than that. September. I'm not going to hang around Sycamore the entire month.
September is when we bottle.
When?
Last Saturday in September.
Last Saturday in September. I think I can make that. Check the schedule. Okay. All right. And the address is? Well, just give me your card when you leave it. And do you do anything for work besides making the wine? Or?
I write computer code.
Oh, you do? Okay. So you can do that simultaneously with wine.
Yeah,
making.
They go testing. Hand in hand.
Excellent. The code I've had is it seems to be that way. Yeah. A lot of it. Why is there this glitch in this code here? You know why. Dave has written it well.
Well, you drink the wine and then you write the code.
Better than the other way around. And so here's how we go right now. We find someone to play along with Dave, don't we?
I think we want to do that, don't we? Yeah.
Michael Arnold?
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. This is an encore performance of What Do You Know, so no need to call now.
Who did the judge suggest was smoking crack? In a current case before the judiciary. Huh? I like that word. Let's go to the phones right now. The judge said, very famous trial going on right now, the judge said, you must be smoking crack. Chris is from Olathe.
Hi, Michael. I knew you'd say Olathe. It's Olathe.
Olathe. I was going to say that. Latha. I was just, you let me finish. You didn't let me finish, Chris.
I'm sorry.
Who's smoking crack? The judge said.
You.
Yeah. Best answer so far, but it's not true. Why are you applauding that, ma'am? It's clearly not true. We blood tested in my own show. I hate the thought. Do you know who said that? The judge said to whom in a recent case?
Can you give me some sort of little hint?
Yes. No. Bye. Okay. Ben is in Eau Claire. Ben, come on, help me out here. The Apple lawyers, yes, in the Apple Samsung patent case or whatever that is. She said they presented a long list of people they wanted to call, and she said, you must be on crack. So that was the judge said that, not me. And Dave and Ben. Ben's from Eau Claire there. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Two of you now are partners, so if you want to, you know, just talk for a minute. Okay. Work together as a team, and here are the categories that we have.
And yes, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Ben, you pick the first category. What would you like?
Try school.
School it is. The sun, is it in fact round?
Is it round?
In fact, is it in fact round, the sun?
Ooh, that's
talk it over,
one.
Dave, Ben.
Well, I don't know. Does it warp a little bit?
Do you got a telescope?
Not on me.
Can't look at it.
I would say no.
Can't even look at it.
I think that, you
know.
You
say the sun is not round?
Not perfectly round. It's probably got some indentations.
I think no. I think it's not perfectly round either.
I'm sorry. It's round. It's obviously round. I don't know why there's any hesitation. I'm surprised you think it was. If you ever seen pictures of it, it's pretty round. So yeah, they just found now that it's rounder than they even thought it was. They were surprised how round it is because they thought it was a little flattened at the poles, but it's really pretty darn round.
Could we call it spherical?
Yeah, no.
So that would be no right and one wrong.
Okay, what's left?
And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Dave, what would you like?
Let's do science.
You didn't bring a bottle of that stuff, did you? That would have been a nice gesture. Even though they had never met a cat before, how long will a rat pause approaching a food dish if a male cat's scent infused on a cloth is nearby? Okay, got the scenario?
Could you read that again?
No, I cannot read that. Here's a rat who's never even smelled a cat in his life. All right, there's a food dish. Okay, obviously he's going to go to the food dish. However, there is a cloth infused with male cat's scent on the cloth right next to the dish. Now, what I want to know is how long will that rat pause before going to that dish? Under those circumstances. Mind you, he's never met a cat in his life. All right? He has nine lives. All nine lives, no cats.
Are we talking seconds?
I'll give you the answers here if you let me get to
it. Okay.
A, it won't. They won't pause at all. B, one look right and one look left, and that's it. Or C, a minute and a half. Talk it over, Ben.
I don't know, Ben. What do you think?
I think it's going to go right for the food.
I'll go with your guess.
I don't know. Do you know rats, Ben, from any?
No, not personally.
Oh, okay. You want to go with it won't?
Well, I don't know. What does the audience think? Well,
maybe a minute and a half?
Minute and a half is right, yes! All right, exactly, 90 seconds.
There you go, Ben.
It's like waiting for a professor before he can leave the room. If he's late, you know, you get it. Same thing with rats.
Just have a few more minutes. Yeah. Current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Okay, what's left there?
Current events, people, places,
okay.
Or odds and ends.
Ben, what would you like there? This is for everything now. We're going to give you this one for everything. It's a one for the classic one for. Yeah.
What's what would
you
odds like? Odds and ends.
Something, what?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay.
This is for the mother load, Michael?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not going that far. It's just to win the darn thing. Which burns more calories, sweeping and vacuuming, or synchronized swimming?
Sweeping and vacuuming, it's got to.
Yeah. Or synchronized swimming.
I said synchronized swimming.
Burns more calories than sweeping and vacuuming? Is that what you're saying?
Ooh. Maybe you should go back to sweeping and vacuuming.
What about synchronized sweeping and vacuuming? It's a trial event at next year's in Rio. They're going to be doing it. So you're saying synchronized swimming burns more calories than sweeping and vacuuming?
Well, Ben, what do you think?
That sounds good to me, yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
You're right. Synchronized swimming, but it's 60 to 48 calories. It's almost a wash. Almost a wash.
We'll be back at the Monona Terrace in Madison in June. Plus, we'll be in La Crosse, Wisconsin on June 8th. For a full schedule and ticket information, click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. We've got good news for Feldman fans. Michael's book, Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, is now available for Kindle, Nook, and all other ebook devices. For more information, click over to notmuch.com. Stay tuned. Coming up, we laugh at a batch of memos and celebrate terrible writing with Kathy Bryant, plus another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Sarah Nix, welcoming you back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Mike Arnold announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, we go out for lunch during Thanks for the Memos and talk bad writing with UK author Kathy Bryant, plus another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now the man who wishes the Mars rover Curiosity would stop texting him.
Yeah, I know.
Michael Feldman.
That's texting me. That's pretty weird, isn't it?
What?
Curiosity is sexting me.
I said texting.
No, but I'm telling you the truth now. That's, that's just that's for public consumption. It may be spam and not actually the Curiosity rover, but they're signing it Curiosity.
Well, then, yeah. It must be true.
You know, each week we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners, so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth. Thank you. And some fan mail here, too. Terry says, love your show. I've heard so many people recently talk about how good-looking Michael is. Where do you go? Over at the home there, they're talking. They had, you know.
Oh, he's a good-looking young fellow.
Oh, they had some butter cookies, and they had a little bit of tea. Not the decaf tea is what I prefer, the Lipton's.
Really? Yeah.
And he's talking about that Feldman feller. I've heard so many people recently talk about how good-looking Michael is. I've never heard anyone say, I hang around the wrong places. That out of curiosity, I went to your website to see his pic. There are lots of good pics, but no close-ups of Michael.
I think there's a reason for that.
All right, Arnold, we'll put your shot up there with your do and everything. Mr. Hair. I was talking about his hair. Look, his hair is in the way of the camera. We got Jim Cam mounted on Michael Arnold here. But it all sees is his hair. His shot looks like a jungle shot. Mr. Hair, big deal. Hirsute. That's all that is. Yeah, but lots of no close-ups of Michael. I would like to suggest that he have his picture taken professionally. After my makeup is done professionally, I think it would be a good idea. And put on your site along with his bio. Adam, are you noting this? No picture of me on Michael Feldman's What Do You Know website? Let those of us who can't be at the show appreciate this beefcake, boy. Let me just open up another one. Yes, sir. Kosher beefcake is very, very good. My wife and I were at the 8, 11, 12 show at the UW Music Hall, and a good show, all things considered. Since an audience participation show needs an audience. Well, okay, there is that. This is the fifth show we've attended in the past 12 years. You and Tony Kornheiser are the last true wits in the country. Well, that makes you think, doesn't it? Me and Tony Kornheiser. We should get together and just exchange wits. Battle. The battle of the wits. Last true wits. We'll be back. So Art Kelly, Dixon, Illinois. Okay, thanks, Art Kelly. Carter Osterbein says, I agree with the term postmodernism. Hard to argue against it, isn't it? A modern is synonymous with, there was a woman from the art museum here, the Chazen Art Museum here in Madison. A Jew gave the money, I'm telling you, it's Chazen.
It's not what they say.
I don't care what they say. They pronounce that stuff wrong all the time. Chanukah? I don't think so. Jappy Chanukah? They don't say that. Anyhow, and this came up with her because I'm very confused about the term. I'm, of course, an art critic, part-time. But postmodernism, because I figure something's either ancient or it's modern, you know? How can you have something that's post-modern? Oops, pardon me. But he says, Carter, I agree with about the term postmodernism. Modern is synonymous with contemporary. Post-contemporary would have to be in the future. However, we are stuck in the present. That's exactly what I was thinking, Carter. Try telling that to an art person, though, you know.
It's tough.
Modernism as an art movement increasingly tried to be art for its own sake, that is not figurative, representational, or narrative storytelling. It just wanted to be about itself in the way that music can be without singing. Postmodernism wanted to get away from this narrow restriction and go back to description and narrative and any previous art ideas. I love your show. Well, he's a postmodern kind of guy. That's what. Okay, I think we cleared that up once and for all. Now some actual memos sent in by actual Listeners, this is about where to put your loaded crates. Hopefully you got this memo. Otherwise, you're stuck there with a bunch of crates in the wrong place. It goes like this. Ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be some confusion about where to put your loaded crates Friday afternoon. We have not made a decision yet as to where you need to put your crates Friday afternoon. Since you may not know how heavy the crate will be after you load it, here is a suggestion when you get ready to pack. One, get a set of wheels. Two, get a couple of crates, depending on how much you are moving. Three, put your first empty crate on the set of wheels. Four, load. Five, put your next crate on top of the first crate. Six, load. And seven, sometime between now and Friday afternoon, a decision will be made for a central location for your crates. If all crates are in a central location for each building, it will be much easier for the movers to ensure that they do not miss any crates that need to be moved. If you have a better suggestion, please feel free to share it with me. That famous throwaway line. There you have it. Where to put your crates? We don't know. Thank you for that, Neville. And some easy instructions on how to move a crate, so I thought that was helpful. Wait a minute, there's a bonus here. This is so good. You know, mostly the stuff we get is about bathrooms and plumbing and toilets and misuse and that sort of thing. But this one is an unusually good one. And it's short. May 17th. With the automatic toilet flush, often people complete their business and walk out of the stall. However, we have recently had complaints that people are leaving unsanitary conditions behind. In the future, please glance back. And make sure you have cleaned up after yourself. Thanks, Human Resources. I love it. All right, where can they send those memos?
Well, they can, if they have a crate full of memos they want to send, they can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or okay. Go to notmuch.com and post it there.
And same thing if you want to say something about the show, or if you want to say my beefcake sort of thing.
Yeah, I want to ask, demand more photographs of you.
More beefcake you can shots do that again. Of hosts.
whatdoyouknow@wpr.org.
If they want to use the mails. Do you know the address yet? Have you memorized that?
Yes, it's 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. They've added it to the script. So that now I know.
Very good. What about if you're on Twitter and you want to see what I really think?
Gosh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were following me. I thought I saw your name.
What would that be? That would be the real Michael Feldman. What is it?
No. At
my
Feldman.
At my Feldman.
At my Feldman.
That's the Twitter thing. Yeah. I don't
One
understand
word,
that stuff.
My Feldman.
I just don't get it.
I thought I saw you on there as a follower.
It's probably someone impersonating me.
Okay. Yeah. Not the
happens
real,
all the
not
time.
Not the real Mike Arnold.
Yeah, happens all the time.
Well, they just had another Bulwer Lytton contest. You know the Bulwer Lytton contest for bad writing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, comes out of England because Edward Bulwer Lytton was one of the worst writers of all time. And that's, you know, I say that because, you know, it's hard to imagine. I mean, he couldn't even write for cable, I don't think. I was watching some shows on the ION network, which I'd never heard of before. This happened. What is ION? I thought, well, you know, this could have been written by Edward Bulwer Lytton, so maybe he could work today. But they have this contest every year for bad writing in the style of, you know, he was a dark and stormy night guy, and very very bad descriptions and so forth. So they have this contest every year, and it's a big deal, and we have the winner. And she's in Manchester, England. So there is an England. We've verified it twice today. We have London and Manchester. We know there is an England. Kathy Bryant, and she is currently the worst writer in the world. So that's pretty exciting. Let's have her on right now. Hi, Kathy, are you there?
Hello, I am.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Do you take a certain pride in being such a bad writer? I know you're not a bad writer, though, are you? Really?
Oh, I'm a terrible writer, but at least I do it well. If you're going to be really, really bad at something, at least do it well.
Yeah, excellent. That's an excellent point. But you are a writer and a published writer and a poet.
I am a writer, yes. I write stories, poetry. I plug my book if you let me, but, you know.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I have a book out. It's called Contains Strong Language and Scenes of a Sexual Nature.
Oh.
So that kind of tells you all you need to know, really.
I think I read that, or maybe it was just on the back of the box. You know, that's very good. And so is Edward, is he in your style of writing? Is that usually your style, the florid kind of over descriptive thing?
I tend to vary it. To be honest, I can write all kinds of badly. I don't just stick to one. But you know, that it was A Dark and Stormy Night.
Yeah.
That was actually the start of a satire. So he was trying to be bad.
Oh, so he was trying. That shouldn't count against him then.
Yeah. I thought he struggled with opening sentences, as many of us do.
But he was bad even when he wasn't trying.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
He made me look like an amateur.
Did you ever read Layla or The Siege of Granada?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Many years ago, and I've been trying to wipe it from my memory.
Yeah. Here's a little thing. Let's see. Here's a little descriptive part. I got it right here, as a matter of fact, because I read it every night before going to bed, because it puts me out just like that. The night was not far advanced, and the moon, which broke through the transparent air of Andalusia, shone calmly over the immense and murmuring encampment of the Spanish foe, and touched with a hazy light the snow-capped summits of the Sierra Nevada, contrasting the verdure and luxuriance which no devastation of man could utterly sweep from the beautiful vale below. And that's one sentence. Imagine what he could do with two. Beautiful. So how long did you have to work on your entry day before you...
Oh, literally minutes. I mean, I had to polish and edit and then, you know, be filled with shame for a while.
Yeah.
That took some time.
And what... Now, if you're going to win this thing, there must be certain... What must you do to win this?
I think the idea is just to be so bad that it's good.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of description or use of language, or I mean, you know, it's the Bulwer Lytton, so you got to do something special, don't you, for that?
Sure. I mean, there's bad writing everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to you earlier, and you know, some of those memos, there's bad writing everywhere. So it's not just ordinary bad writing. I think you have to reach inside yourself and find the utter crap.
Okay. Very well put, I might say. And would you care to read your entry? Because I think you could do it best.
I'd love to. No, you would do it better than me.
Okay.
As he told her that he loved her, she gazed in his eyes, wondering, as she noted the infestation of eyelash mites, the tiny deodicids burrowing into his follicles to eat the greasy sebum therein, each female laying up to 25 eggs in a single follicle, causing inflammation, whether the eyes are truly the windows of the soul. And if so, his soul needed regrouting.
Beautiful. I don't think anyone could have written that better.
Oh, thank you.
So it is the attention to meaningless detail that's really important in it. Meaningless and disgusting detail. I think that's fabulous, which is not characteristic of your general writing.
That's very kind of you. Some critics would disagree.
Well, that's wonderful. Have you never won this one before, have you?
No, I've never entered this one before.
Yeah.
No. So.
Yeah. Have you entered other bad writing contests or something similar?
I will be now. I'm hoping loads of them. I'm a natural.
This is sort of this is the height of everything. So the rest.
Yeah.
There's nothing beyond it. Well, thank you very much. And did you want to mention your book once again that people can get?
Thank you. Beefcake,
yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
That's not the title of my book. My book is called Contains Strong Language and Scenes of a Sexual Nature.
Right. By Kathy Bryant.
Kathy Bryant. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Bryant from Manchester, England.
Thank you.
Currently the worst writer in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful. That's going to be hard to beat, but I guess you don't have to beat this year's one next year. Hopefully it won't be as tough next year. And those of you who are bad writers might want to consider that. And he did add things to the language, though. What was it he said? I forget. Mm-hmm. Some memorable phrases, actually, that we use to this day.
He said, I forget, actually.
Yeah, it might have been that. I forget what he said, but he might have said that. So there, okay, John, I see you're rocking back and forth. Are you okay?
Yeah. No, I'm fine.
You're doing that thing that Clyde does occasionally when. But he does that when he's eating. So does a pendulum thing when he eats.
To get the salt out of the shaker.
That was a nice tune there. You've been writing a lot lately, or?
I have been, yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
What do you think that is then?
Because I just got tired of learning other new tunes. So.
But when you now, okay, so you write a song, you get something right, and you write, and do you actually write it down?
Oftentimes I do, but not always, which is could be a bit of a trap because there have been some songs that I've like not come back to for a while, and I kind of forgot.
Yeah, because otherwise you got to memorize everything. And
yeah, I usually end up doing that anyway. Because I make a lot of I make revisions in my head and stuff, so sometimes I don't like to write it down too early. Because
well, let me ask you this then: do you write music? Do you read music?
Yeah.
Oh, you do. Okay. Yeah. So you could if you wanted to. I'm saying.
Oh, I do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's just not all the time. Or,
okay. Yeah. All right. Good. And is this another one you've written then?
No.
So you've had to memorize this one cold.
Years ago I did, yeah.
But in jazz, there's no, I mean, you can do whatever you want in jazz, right? You mean you gotta just get the vamp, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And then you can do it and play.
That's it, baby.
Jeff, you wanna jump in on this at any point?
He always gets the vamp, right?
Yeah. Have you written some stuff too?
I have.
Jeff?
Yeah.
What's your a tune that we would know that you've written? What?
A song for my wife called Julie's Time, which I like a lot.
Julie's Time.
It's actually a nice
tune. Oh, we should do that sometime.
Do that sometime. Yeah.
Yeah. But not now, because this
is going to be... No, because this is a Charlie Parker tune called Anthropology.
Fantastic. John Tilley. Jeff Hammond on the bass. That's good. You can applaud that.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
You had to read that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You had it written down?
I have to read it, yeah.
You couldn't memorize that much?
I'm incapable of original thought, Michael.
We have a jazzercise instructor here. I thought it might be good to shake out a little of that, from sitting around so much. Yeah, you ready? Can you lead us in something? Elaine, are you Elaine?
Sure.
Elaine Stansfield.
Yeah.
From Olathe. Okay, we're up. Wait a second. What? Tell people what you're doing, Elaine.
We're working our obliques.
Okay, hands over the head.
Stretch.
March in place now. We're marching in place. March in place. Can we do the hands while we're marching?
Yeah.
Hands while over the head. And march in place.
And now we turn around.
Turn around and leave, ladies and gentlemen, because thank you very much. Thank you very much. I feel 100% better. Well, 10%. Okay. I feel invigorated. Do you feel invigorated?
Oh, yes.
Let's go somewhere then. What the heck?
I got up at 4:30 this morning.
To fish?
No, to get here.
From where?
From uptown Chicago. But your coffee...
Got up a little early, I thought.
Your coffee woke me up, though.
Okay. Coffee woke her up. Did you get that?
I think she must have had plenty of it.
Okay. Oh, that was her. Okay, Three Sisters from Kansas. The Three Sisters from Kansas. Thank you so much. Very nice to have you here. Mike Strahler, is it?
Hey.
From Sun Prairie?
Yes.
Bakery operations manager?
That's correct.
How did I get roped into bringing my sister to Madison? Oh, he's with the Three Sisters. Oh, okay. Isn't it funny how this all works out? Okay. It's funny how this all works out. So you had to bring the sister. Can I get you to come down here,
sure.
Mr. Kansas? Mr. Jayhawk. Hey, you.
Let's rock, Chuck.
Okay. Whatever you say, it doesn't matter to me. But you're from Sun Prairie. How'd you end up with Three Sisters in Kansas?
Well, I'm originally from Kansas. I'm the one that moved away.
No.
Yes. Yes.
You're the only guy from Kansas probably in Sun Prairie, don't you think? Have you found others?
I have not found others. There are a few other in Madison, but none in Sun Prairie probably.
How couldn't they get here on their own, under their own auspices?
They got here on their own, but as you'll notice, I'm slightly outnumbered now, including my wife. And so if we decide what we're going to do, I just don't bring up my opinion. Save some time that way.
You don't mind doing a little shopping, do you?
No.
And you're a good man. You're a better man than I. Thanks for bringing them. Now look at this. Rich Fuller, retired minister. I didn't know they could. I thought it was like the mafia. Can you retire? I don't think you can, sir. You should check. You should check your contract. Check your contract, because I don't think you can quit the ministry. It's absolutely...
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got a pension, and I'm living the good life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell that to the mafia. Though.
Yeah, I know.
You don't get calls in the night? And...
No, not anymore.
No?
No.
Not anymore?
Nope.
You were at first, though, huh?
Yes, all the time.
Well, that's great, then. So what does a retired minister do with himself, then?
Well, we do a lot of things.
Yeah. Can't think of one, though, can you?
No, I can't. And I
that's
don't
good.
Need to. I no. don't need to. Yeah. Nobody's going to demand anything of me.
That's good.
It's great.
That's good.
Nobody tells me what to do. Wait, shut up. No, my wife does. Yeah. She tells me what to do.
Yeah. What have you told him recently, and did he do it?
He needed to do the wash, and he did it, yeah.
Whoa, what a
yeah. Hey, iron, wash, do the kitchen cleaning, all that.
So you know. Left the pulpit for the laundry.
Yeah, for the laundry. It works.
Yeah. Thinking of going back to the pulpit after the laundry?
No, I gave it up. Yeah.
Well, do you, are there hobby things that you do? Or?
We go camping. I sing. I sing in a madrigal at Hopcom, Wisconsin.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Madrigal so. Is
Well, it's a group, a small group of people.
I know what it is. So.
Okay.
I know what that is.
Really?
Yeah, it's a group, a small group, and they...
Yeah, and they sing.
Madrigal songs.
Yeah.
So it's going pretty good, then.
Yeah, it's going good.
All right. What do we... You know, he's retired from the ministry. Did you get a lot of stuff when you retired?
No.
No.
I can only carry so much out of the church.
Yeah. Just a collection plate, huh? What do we have for the ex-minister Rich Fuller?
Well, you can play coffee house bingo and spot things like Birkenstocks and concert T-shirts from Say Cheese Designs.
What happened to the wine?
How about, is there any wine?
I got in trouble the last...
Okay. I know, you did. They yelled at you.
Well, you know, you can celebrate the joys of summer with fine Wisconsin wines like Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé by the Wollersheim Winery.
Serve it. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. I feel like I've been ordained now after that. Does that mean I got to go on? How many times have you been to Wall Drug? Fred Foreman from Verona wants to. Hey, Fred. Been there a lot, have you?
I've been there just once.
Me too. Who goes there twice? Right? All right, put your hands down. I'm not saying it's true of everyone. You see all these signs, Wall Drug. So, finally, after 20,000 times passing it, you go into Wall Drug, and it's a drugstore, and they have water.
Bottled water and tap water, too, I think, don't they?
No, they have cold water, don't they? They have ice water.
Yeah, I used to see it on all the license plates or on the back bumpers when I was driving out there. Yeah. And so I asked you that because I saw your sign up there.
Yeah, and they got those little squirrels with antlers.
Yeah.
You've seen one of those, you've seen them all, right?
Jackalopes.
Yeah. Jackalopes, that's what they got. Now, what I'm curious about is why these people went back. Who said they went back to Wall Drug a second time? Why?
We live in Sturgis, South Dakota. We often go to Wall Drug.
All right, well, there you go. I can understand that, I guess. I guess I was put in my place pretty much there. Sturgis, so they got that thing going on in Sturgis now, don't they? How come you're not out there with all those biker boys? Huh?
That's why we're here.
Yeah, really? Get a little loud, does it? I understand they've calmed down quite a bit over the years, though. Yeah, that's good. You say that with a straight face, huh? Come on, you know they haven't. They got it. They got to be those, but they are. That's good. Good fun. The Californian asks us, is it true that everyone in Wisconsin wears cheese on their heads?
Well, Californians wear their pot and a little... around the top there? Ben, I don't think so. But is that Martha Tripp? Martha Tripp? Martha Tripp. Did you really think you'd find us? Paulie Ryan, excuse me. Paulie Ryan has cheese in his veins. But that's unusual. And it will no longer be covered under Medicare, I'll tell you that.
Actually, my father wrote that one.
Oh, you wrote that.
Yes.
She did it. Go get her.
Okay, but you're from here, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just a little joke then.
Yeah.
We're going to let you go on that one then, Martha.
Well, I was wondering if you could wish them a happy anniversary, 60 years.
60 years. Oh, boy, we need some wine for that. 60 years for the Tripps. The Tripps? Mr. Tripp, your name is?
Bill.
Bill Tripp and Betty. Bill and Betty Tripp, 60 years. How about a little wine? Mike Arnold.
Okay.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Hey, you can celebrate the joys of summer with fine Wisconsin wines like Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé, which I think I'm mispronouncing, from the Wollersheim Winery.
But wait, there's more. It's your birthday is tomorrow as well. We got to celebrate that.
85.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Let me ask you about the 60 years. So you met him when you were 25 or something like that?
Just about. A little younger. 18.
What's the secret? If there's one thing that can guarantee you 60 years of marriage, what do you think the one thing is?
I know what that is. She has a hearing aid and she can turn down the volume on.
And you, what's your secret?
I wish I knew.
Well, congratulations. Happy birthday. Congratulations on your anniversary. Nice to have you here.
Nice to see you.
Thanks for joining us. All right. We're going to play another round of the quiz. And because it worked the first time, kind of. Let's try it again. If you want to play the quiz, this could be your only opportunity. Let's face it. Let's see those hands up now. Hands up, everyone. And let's see, well, where the enthusiasm lies. This is difficult. What? Yeah? Okay, well, everyone's pointing back there. All right, well, come up here and let's have a look at you and let's just see if you actually... I don't know. Usually I go by auras, but I can't see auras in the distance anymore. Okay, you want to go that way? I'll come around that way. No. Oh, she's going right up on stage. All right. Yeah, go ahead, right up on stage. Sit down, take over if you want. Sit in my place. No, go sit in my place. That's right. Or can you play the piano? A little bit? Wasn't serious. Get out of there. How are you? Well, you're the most aggressive contestant we've ever had.
Oh, boy.
You walk right in, sit down like you own the place.
Well, sit down, it's a great place.
Were you in London for the Olympics?
I wasn't, but I had friends who went there, and they brought back.
You just got that T-shirt. Yeah. Okay. And you are?
Ann Shineman.
Ann, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Is there an E on your Ann?
There is.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll put it on there.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks.
That's the way to do it. And you're with the group, with the minister and the,
I
and the
am,
flock?
I am, and the birthday boy and family and friends.
Are you part of the flock?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what do you do in life as we know it, Ann?
Well, I'm a teacher here in Madison.
Oh, you are?
Woo-hoo.
What do you teach?
I'm an instructional resource teacher, so I teach teachers at Gompers Elementary School.
You teach teachers?
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty hard to teach, aren't they? They're mostly
they're
unteachable.
Wonderful people.
Oh, yes, of course they are. But I'll tell you, the worst thing is a gig in front of the teachers' convention. At the convention?
Yeah, well, we don't have those anymore.
No, you don't?
No.
Okay, well, that's
but
a good thing.
I do present in front of teachers.
Do
that's
you?
Tough.
Oh, man, they were sticking their shoes under the seat there and getting the person ahead of them, you know, and then cracking the seat there and
throwing
spit wads and just talking, ignoring me. That was a tough racket. I used to teach too, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you teach?
Okay, I knew you'd try to pin me down. It was English as a second language for Americans.
Okay.
So are we... So So we're out here celebrating?
Yeah, Jim turns 51 tomorrow.
Jim turns 51.
Right?
Oh. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
How's that going for you so far? Going pretty good, 51?
He's a principal.
Oh, he's the principal at Gompers?
No, at in Baraboo.
Oh, in Baraboo. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. So Ann, some out there plays along with you. And Mike Arnold?
Yeah.
Did you think I was going to ask you to give away more wine?
Yeah, I was a little worried about that.
Yeah. How are you? I just wanted to chat.
Good.
Okay.
Good. You know, if people want to
play the quiz.
You know, all they have to do is pick up the phone.
You are listening to an encore performance of What Do You Know, so no need to call this week.
All right. Kenny the Clown gets some much-needed publicity in Palo Alto. In what manner is the question? Kenny the Clown, you probably read about him. Made the news, headlines across the country, around the world. Kenny the Clown of Palo Alto. Mike's online from Madison. Hey, Mike from Madison.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Well, I have no idea who Kenny the Clown is. So.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, bye. Nice of him to call, anyhow. A lot of people don't take the time. Zach is in Verona. Hey, Zach.
Hi.
Have you ever heard of Kenny the Clown, Zach?
Kenny the Clown? Unfortunately, I have not. However, I will take a stab at it.
Okay.
He did something at a kid's party, I think.
No, not that, Kenny. Okay, thanks, though. And George is... Oh, God. In Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, George.
Hey.
How's your summer been there in Little Rock?
Hot.
Uh-huh. Very. That's unusual for Arkansas, isn't it?
Yeah. No. We have hot summers here.
Oh, yeah, I know. But
you've been here.
I've been there. I like it. I like Arkansas. But it does get a little bit warm. But this year, we've been like Arkansas up here.
Yep.
Yeah, amazing. George, Kenny the Clown, ring a bell?
He had Steve Jobs' stolen iPad.
You got it. When they stole, they broke into Steve Jobs' house. This guy stole the iPad and gave it to Kenny the Clown. So it's sort of a nice story in the end, final end. But, okay, so you read a lot, George, or is that from All Things Considered, or what?
In just listening to NPR.
Oh, yeah? Do you read The Democrat down there?
I do read it.
Okay.
Every day.
Even though you're not one, I bet, huh?
No, I am.
Oh, good. Okay. One of the last down there.
It's the paper in town, so it's my read.
Okay. One of the last in the Ozarks, Sarah. You got you out of the Ozarks.
Yep.
One of the last Democrats down there. George, and what do you do for a way of life or what have you?
I'm a proud trial lawyer.
A proud trial lawyer?
Yep.
Okay. Are you smoking crack, George? What did you think of that judge's remark? Did you think that was a little out of place?
Well, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Have you ever had a judge say something like that in a courtroom you were in?
Not to me.
No, not to you, I mean, but that seemed a little, I don't know, extreme.
It's a little over the top.
A little over the top, but funny, you're right. George, this is Ann.
Hi, George.
Hi, Ann.
And she teaches teachers, so you know she's got to know her stuff. So this is good. You'll be a good team here. And a trial lawyer, how can they lose, really? What are those categories there, Mike?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends. That's what it is.
Why you look quizzical? You have to be authoritative.
That's why I'm on the radio.
George, you pick the first one. What would you like? What category would you like?
How about current events? We'll see about
current events. Right on. How many eggs in the record-breaking Florida Burmese python? Oh. This was in the news all over. I think it was in the Arkansas Democrat. How many eggs in the record-breaking Florida Burmese python, the one that was 17 foot 7 inches? A lot of room for eggs in there.
It was 80-something. I can't remember the exact amount.
80-something is right. That's close enough, don't you think?
Great. Sounds
Yeah,
awesome.
87, 80-something sounds almost the same. Yeah, 87. Woo-hoo. All right, George.
That's one right and no wrong.
I have a good feeling about it.
The remaining categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay.
How about science?
Science? All right. Lunar swirls, they call them. Because they're on the moon's surface. I guess you have to call them something. Lunar swirls on the moon's surface are now thought to be caused by one of the following. Are these swirls on the moon's surface? Just to back up a little bit here. Are they caused by dust bunnies? Volcanic acne? Was that you or is that me? Oh. Sorry. That was Mike again. See, I'm going to miss you, man. You don't want to go back to the office and do all that stuff you got to do. Let me start over. Lunar swirls on the moon's surface are now thought to be caused by A, dust bunnies, B, volcanic acne, or C, electric field generated by magnetic bubbles. Bubbles in the crust, of course.
I'm thinking C, George. What do you think?
Well, that's a good guess. I'm
yes,
not sure.
Right. Electric field generated by magnetic bubbles in the crust.
Good job.
The bubbles in your crust.
That's two right and no wrong. Okay. And the remaining categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
George, what would you like?
Things I should have learned in school.
Okay, things you should have learned in school. Spell principal. Like the guy in Baraboo.
Well, they're your pals.
So it's okay. P-A-L. Okay, well, you got to spell it, though. It's not just P-A-L, is it?
Is that the question?
Yes, spell.
Oh. Can we do it all
or
together?
Or spell Baraboo if you'd rather spell it. I don't care.
Well, this is George's question. Does he want to do it?
No, both of you are.
Ready, set, go.
P
R I N C I P A L.
Didn't hear you, George.
What's that? What's the question? I didn't hear that.
She's right. Principal. P A L. Like in PayPal. Like in PayPal. Just like in PayPal. Well, all right. So this is interesting, Mike, isn't it?
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, they can stop now if they want to, or if they want to go to the mother lode, they need to get two more?
Yes, two more.
Two more.
Authoritative.
Two more for the mother lode. That's how it would work.
Yes.
Two more for the mother lode.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So you want to go on, or you can quit now and get some fairly...
Well, George, what do you think?
Worthless.
Absolutely. Let's go on.
They're going on. Woo! And we applaud that. Yes, we do. Okay. So what categories remain there?
The remaining categories are people, places, or odds and ends.
Okay, so they got to get two out of those three right there.
Yes, exactly.
Places.
Places, okay. This could be anywhere. Let's see if it is. Yeah, well, yes, it is. It's anywhere. If opposites do attract, then according to the self-reported obesity findings, who's going to report themselves as obese? I would never think to do it. Anyhow, a person from Mississippi should seek out a person from one of the following. So we're having exact opposite ends here of the weight spectrum, I guess we're saying. A person from Mississippi should seek out a person then from Wisconsin, Colorado, or Rhode Island.
Colorado.
Whoa. Colorado. She says Colorado. Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I wasn't asking you, you know. I was just... Thank you for the response. I appreciate getting some response.
We may have to share a gift
from,
with everyone in the audience here.
Say Colorado. George, what do you think?
I agree.
Okay, so the thinnest state you're saying then, or the least obese, would be Colorado?
Yes, there.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yep, if opposites do attract, and...
Yes, and we have four right. Four right? Yeah, four right, and wow. No wrong. And we're just one away from the mother lode, and basically what's left are the choices are people or odds and ends.
Okay, it's back to George, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, George, what do you think?
People please.
People please. These are kind of survey results. Okay. Percentage of people who never bring anything to a party. Never. Well, this is a never, okay? Is it? This, once again, they had to admit this themselves, I guess. You know they're not going to admit it. But anyhow, 27%, 11%, or 4%? People who never, and I mean never, and you know who you are, bring anything to a party except themselves.
What do you think, George?
27, 11, or 4?
One out of four people?
4%.
No. Four?
Yeah, no, that's number C. It's 4%.
All right, the audience is saying...
But once again, it's self-admitted, you know. It's not, you know.
Four.
People who admit, it should be
George,
people who
think,
admit
George?
To never bring anything to a party. 27, 11, or 4%.
Four? You think four? Let's go with four, George. What do you think?
Let's go four. 4% is right.
4% is right, yes. We know it's a lot higher, but there you go. I love it.
Ann. You've won the show's signature What Do You Know Vo Roast Coffee, a rich and knowledgeable blend from Herb and Jake Bronski and company at Denver's famed Novo Coffee. And then challenge yourself with over 200 brain-stretching crossword puzzles, magic squares, and anagrams in Alan Wareham's Test Your Brain Power from Wardlock Limited. Lock down your spot at the bar with the bottle charm Beer Makes Me Walk Funny from Say Cheese Designs, and pass the dog days of summer playing the What Do You Know party game, including bright contestants, a fabulous audience, and the magical Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively on notmuch.com. And George, make your coin collection shine with the faux sterling silver Jubilee anniversary quarter, minted in honor of 25 eternal years of wireless radio comedy and proclaiming the immortal dictum, E Pluribus Punum. Then stumble through Ben Franklin's... Then stumble through Ben Franklin's 13 Virtues, one unvirtuous day at a time, with Cameron Gunn's Ben and Me, from Temperance to Humility, from the Penguin Group. Celebrate summer with a dozen blinking pins and a dozen pens from the Berghoff Brewing Company. Keep that beer or soda cold with a Bubba Gump shrimp drink koozie. And dream about the salons of Paris, listening to the CD What Do You Know About Chopin, with consumption-free liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Congratulations to you both.
Thanks, Dan. George, hang on just a second. Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing. You know, each week at this time, what happens? We usually never at this time, but we have it this week. Once again, it's time for Town of the Week.
Yes.
With Mike Arnold.
It is. And, you know, today's Town of the Week, Tremont in Utah, lies in the Bear River Valley in Utah, about an hour and a half north of Salt Lake City.
Wait a minute, the dart is in Saudi Arabia.
Well, it's close enough.
Off Michigan. We have two darts. That's what unusual.
It was originally called Tremont, and it remained largely uninhabited until just about before 1900, when land agents started promoting the Bear River Valley as a place for Midwestern farmers to relocate. Mm-hmm. Small groups of diverse Protestant faiths from Nebraska and Illinois began to arrive in 1898, distinguishing themselves from their mostly Mormon neighbors. In 1901, an Apostolic Christian Church group, whose main body was from Tremont, Illinois, settled in. Mostly of German descent, this group was referred to as...
Is it Fremont? Did you say Fremont?
Tremont, yes. Referred to as the German colony. When the town site was laid out in 1903, the new town was named Tremont.
Isn't there a Fremont, though, too?
There probably is, yeah, at the request of the German colony. Within 4 years, the post office had it renamed Tremont, though, because they were confused. They thought that it was... Yeah, they thought it was Fremont.
Because there's a Fremont.
So you're kind of ahead of me.
There's a Fremont in there, too.
There is a Fremont. They thought it was Fremont or Tremont.
Oh, it's not Fremont?
So they called it Tremont. So Fremont is still Fremont, but Tremont is Tremont. And after some internal squabbles of the Apostolic Christian Church, you know what happened?
No, they all left.
They moved back to the Midwest.
Back to Germany. I think they go all the way back to Germany or something like that.
The German colony came to an end.
Yeah.
But the church left a permanent mark on Tremont's name and a nearby cemetery, which is filled with German
stuff.
Names.
Did you research this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it took hours. Yeah. Modern Tremont bills itself as a friendly and progressive place in a city with a future. Locals root for the Bear River High School Bears and enjoy close proximity to the Golden Spike National Monument.
Oh.
They also enjoy boating, swimming, or fishing at Willard Bay, East Bay, or Bear River Bay. Bird watching at the Bear River Migratory Bird Refuge.
Slower. I'm trying to write this down.
And they
Bear River Bay.
I'm starting to wonder if this is one of those... contest entries for that bad riding contest. Yeah. And they like to relax in the smooth, soothing rot waters of the Crystal Hot Springs.
Ooh,
they also visit nearby Logan for the Utah Festival from July to August. And that's our Town of the Week, Tremont in Utah.
Whoa. That could be for 2 weeks. Next week, too. It could be part two. We've been calling out there, or actually Lyle has been randomly. And we have Roberta Franck from Tremont in Utah on the line with us. And let's say hello to Roberta. Hi, Roberta. How are you?
Hi.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Did we catch you at a good time? Or
yes.
You have a little time here? Did you happen to hear what Mike Arnold said?
I did. You told it all.
It's pretty much accurate?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. And are you a lifelong resident of Tremont?
Oh, for 65 years.
Okay.
Are the first 65 the hardest in Tree Mountain?
Oh, it's wonderful. First day entering Tree Mountain is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
You love it. You never want to leave it.
Never want to leave. It's like that place in the movies where you go to and everyone is young and wonderful.
Utopia, wonderful.
Yeah, it's a utopia. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Have you raised a family out there in Tree Mountain?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Big one or little one?
Six children.
Six?
Three boys and three girls.
That's great. How did you do that?
Just one at a time.
I wonder, did they alternate or did they come in bunches?
No, I had one boy, three girls, and two boys.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, mm-hmm. So you switched it up in there a little bit. You got a change up and you got a curveball.
Yep.
Excellent. Now, of course, Mike didn't cover the places that an insider, that a person living there would know about in Tree Mountain. Can you tell us about some of those? Where would you take people? If we came to town, where would you take us?
I'll take you to our new museum. We just opened July 21st.
Oh, excellent.
It is a wonderful establishment.
Mm-hmm.
You would love it. It was a building built in around 1903 when the city was established.
Right.
We purchased it from the Oddfellows.
The Oddfellows, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had lodge number 45 here.
Oh, yeah, my dad was an Oddfellow.
Mm-hmm.
In more ways than one. I mean.
They were good people. They were good, good, good people.
Yeah, that's a good lodge, yeah, Oddfellow.
That is.
Because they take anybody, a name like that.
And we would take you there. I would give you a tour of Tree Mountain, of the early people that came here from Tree Mountain, Illinois, from New Sharon, Iowa, from Nebraska. And, you said how they did that, the railroad.
Yeah.
Send out agents. And we still have some of those people here. They didn't all go back.
Oh, I see.
A lot stayed here.
Oh, okay.
But some did go back.
And what's the museum itself called?
The Bear River Valley Museum.
Oh, Bear River Valley, okay. And you have some artifacts there from the original settlers and all that kind of thing?
Well, we've tried, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we go to the museum. Now we're getting a little hungry.
Oh, there's plenty of places now that we have to eat. Like you do back there.
Yeah, but where is a place where, someone coming through might not even know about, but the insiders all go?
You could go over to Max right across from our museum.
Oh, Max right across. That's convenient.
Mm-hmm. Taco Time just down the street.
Taco Time?
Uh-huh.
What do they have there?
Taco.
Oh. And macaroni at Max, I suppose.
We have Denny's and Wendy's and Burger King. And
all those E's, yeah.
And all of those.
Okay.
And the out of town just away is, we used to call it the Green Rock Cafe.
Oh.
But it's JC's now.
JC's, yeah, they sold it, huh?
They didn't sell it. They just changed the name.
Oh, okay, they painted it. Maybe they painted it finally, That green was wearing thin, I bet. And then, so now we want to go out and see the land around there. Where do we go to Bear Springs or Bear...
Crystal Springs.
Crystal Springs, is that the place to go?
It's maybe 10 miles from here.
Yeah. Does it have healing properties?
Oh, yes. And then you could go also, they used to call it Lava Hot Springs,
ooh,
which is north of here about 10, 15 miles.
Yeah.
And they have a golf course up there, plus all the healing waters.
Oh, which healing waters would you recommend? Would you take the lava hot springs over
there? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. I probably need them both, actually, the shape I'm in, so we'll go make a tour of it.
We have a lot of healing springs around here.
Yeah. What's in the water that makes them healing?
These great minerals that are, I don't know exactly the minerals, but they're there.
All the essential minerals and
keep you healthy and movable.
And movable.
We're healthy people here.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And movable.
The mayor from Tremont, Illinois, stopped by here by accident, didn't know about our town. And he said they named Tremont, Illinois, Trimond for the mounds back there, and then they went to Tremont.
Boy, so those names are all messed up.
So we named it from them.
Yeah.
Because of our German colony here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so the names are very confused then. All right, so now we've gone out to the soak in the springs, and then where else would you take us as day starts to end?
We're going to have our big fairgrounds. We have the fair. It comes this week.
Excellent.
We start Tuesday.
Okay.
And our parade is Wednesday.
Okay.
And we have the oldest rodeo in Utah, 1925.
Really? The horses are actually from 1925? That's an old nag. Well, that sounds great. And that's starting, so the timing would be good right now.
Right now's a good time to come.
Yeah.
And now the Bear River High School you mentioned.
Yes.
They had their first ball game last night.
How'd they do?
I don't know, but I heard them.
Okay. You heard them out from your yard, probably.
You can get a lot of action. We're just about a mile from the high school here where I live.
Okay, excellent.
And I could take you out to Golden Spike, the promontory, you know, summit where the railroads.
Yeah.
I could take you way out to the lake where is the spiral jetty.
We're going to spend a couple days here. We're not going to get this done in one day.
You're going to get it. You're going to have a few days here.
A few days here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Roberta. It's been fabulous talking with you. You're so sweet. We have a little something for you just to thank you.
Yes, we'll be sending you the Pride of America's Dairyland and a scrumptious selection of 10 premium certified organic cheeses and butters from Lafarge, Wisconsin's Organic Valley Family of Farms.
All organic. Are you organic? Well, what a coincidence. That's all we got, organic. Thank you, Roberta Franck from Tremont in Utah. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Nice talking to you. Are you playing that? Who's playing that?
Your piano?
No. You know what?
What?
Hey, lacrosse fans. We'll be in your town on June 8th. For a full schedule and ticket information, click over to notmuch.com or call 608-262-2201. And we've got good news for Feldman fans. Michael's book, Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, is now available for Kindle, Nook, and all other ebook devices. For more information, click over to notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Michelle Good, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. I'm Sarah Nix, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know.
PRI, Public Radio International.